He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. When he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him, and he shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." Then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." He begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there was on the hillside a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged him, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission. And the unclean spirits came out and entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned in the lake. The swineherders ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and saw the demoniac sitting there, clothed and in his right mind, and the very man who had had the legions, and they were afraid. Those who had seen what happened to the demoniac and to the swine reported it. Then they began to beg Jesus to leave their neighborhood. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed by demons begged him that he might be with him. But Jesus refused and said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and what mercy he has shown you." And he went away and began to proclaim in the Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him. And everyone was amazed.
Well, that's a strange story, isn't it? We'll get to that in just a minute. This morning I'm interrupting our regularly scheduled programming. We were going to be talking about creeds for these few weeks, and I decided to interrupt that just for this week. Next week we'll go back to our creed series and we'll focus on the Apostles' Creed. But I felt like it was a good idea and necessary maybe to take a moment to tell you about where I've been these past few weeks, what I've been learning, what I've been experiencing. I've been on a journey that I didn't expect and I wasn't ready for. And I'm not sure anybody could be ready for it. I'm willing to speak to you one-on-one or in small groups as you wish, but as I said, I find it helpful to just tell the story one time in the same way and at the same time to get us all sort of caught up to speed. So my story begins on Wednesday, January 9th. Way back on that day, I started to struggle with insomnia. I'm not a stranger to insomnia. My mind often races late at night when I'm trying to fall asleep. But in the past, I would call my insomnia mild. It was solved after a day, maybe two, with some over-the-counter medication. But the insomnia that began last month was unlike anything I'd ever experienced before. And it carried on for 4 days. I slept 4 hours in 4 days. I lay in bed for hours listening to Elias breathe. Sometimes I would get up and read or watch a movie. I did yoga. I meditated. Nothing helped. I was absolutely exhausted and also terrified about why I wasn't sleeping. Strange thoughts started to run through my mind. What if I never sleep again? What is happening here? Saturday night, January 12th, something abrupt shifted in my brain. I got an intense migraine headache, and I started to hallucinate. At no time did I ever fear for my own safety or for the safety of others, but given that I've never, ever experienced anything like hallucinations before, it was absolutely terrifying. Elias called my parents, and together they decided to call 911. I don't remember much, But compassionate EMS workers loaded me into the ambulance, brought me to the hospital. I spent 8 days in the hospital. Those 8 days were humbling and so sad, but also so full of grace. The psychiatrist who treated me is someone whose compassion and care will be forever etched on my heart. As I started to be myself again and I explained what had happened and the hallucinations and the terror, he nodded with complete empathy and simply said, "Oh, that's terrifying. How very scary." He promised me that he would do everything in his power to help me get completely well, and he made good on that promise. Becoming well and healthy after something like what I experienced is not something that can happen right away. Our executive presbyter, my boss, the overseer of this Chicago area, Sue Crummel, gave excellent advice. She said, "You and your church need to treat this like a heart attack, and that it is a sudden illness from which you do not recover quickly." She was right, and our church leadership heeded that advice. I went through an outpatient program, art therapy, medication, meditation, and hours of blessed sleep. I began to recover and feel like myself again. I now have a lot of tools in my toolkit for insomnia, and I'm under close medical care to make sure I can catch symptoms of this happening again. It was a terrifying time, but there were positive lessons to learn as well, some holy moments in the midst of trauma. During my recovery, I had to put everything aside, my tendency to work too hard, my miles-long to-do list, my love for being busy and active, even my work here at church and caring for my family and my children. Every single thing I cared about in life had to take a back seat. I had to focus every ounce of strength I had on becoming well. Elias was a rock, and so were my parents. The leaders of our church showed me great compassion and were willing to give me all the time I needed to recover. I'm blessed indeed to have that kind of steadfast, faithful support, and I'm so thankful to everyone for being there for me when I needed help and understanding. Mental and emotional health is still taboo in our church and in society. We don't often talk about it openly and freely because it frightens us. We don't understand it. So when I was first telling the story of what had happened to me, I did choose to focus on the bodily aspect of migraines rather than to talk about the emotional and mental component. It feels so vulnerable to say openly what is happening to us on a mental or emotional level. Even so, we cannot heal through euphemisms. We cannot be cured through avoidance. I met a lot of people in the hospital. They were creative, empathetic, loving, brilliant, and funny people. And they each had some sort of mental health diagnosis, from depression to anxiety to obsessive compulsive disorder to schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, something unspecified. Each person was struggling to find emotional and mental wellness. And in the 8 days I was there, I saw some of them become well enough to leave. But I also met others who came in at the height of crisis. I have a newfound calling to pay attention to mental crisis and to really listen to those who have suffered from them. I have no doubt that a great many of our PADS guests suffer with mental illness on some level, and I wonder how my experience over the past few weeks might lead to a deeper understanding of them. So the passage I chose for us this morning is from the book of Mark. And it is, on first glance, about demons, but I think it's actually about mental illness. So listen again closely. When Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man out of the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. He lived among the tombs, and no one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain. For he had often been restrained with shackles and chains, but the chains he wrenched apart, and the shackles he broke in pieces, and no one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling and bruising himself with stones. a man who lived among the tombs. He couldn't be restrained, even with a chain. No one had the strength to subdue him. He lived on the mountains, howling and bruising himself with stones. It sounds like a very, very good description of some kind of mental illness. In the words of the Bible, he was afflicted with demons and he had an unclean spirit. It certainly seemed so then when someone's behavior was inexplicable or uncontrollable. Today we call it diagnosis. Whether it's demons or diagnosis, it remains very scary. This story ends so strangely to our modern ears. The man says the demons are afflicting him or have a name, and that name is Legion. So Jesus casts them out into a herd of pigs, 2,000 of them, and then in the form of those swine, the spirits drown. It's a really strange story, but there is for this man healing, and at the end of it, Jesus tells him to go tell all of the people the good news of how he has been healed. So in my case, the crisis I suffered was not resolved by a herd of swine. It would make for an interesting story. But it was resolved by more than a few professionals, medication, and hours of rest and repose. So I could say the demons are gone. I'm so, so sorry for everything that you all had to go through during this time. The concern, the absence of a pastor, the uncertainty, and no doubt many fearful rumors. I know that this has been difficult for you too, and so I thank you for your understanding and your patience, your support, and your coming together as a community of faith. To help anyone afflicted by mental illness, we need to refuse to accept the stigma that it usually entails. We need to renew our determination to create safe spaces for recovery and healing, and to be the people that make that possible. I know it may sound more than a little strange, but I feel so, so grateful. I'm grateful to doctors and nurses and healers who saw me through one of the darkest seasons of my life so far. I'm grateful to mentors and friends who were there to walk alongside me, and I'm grateful for the leadership of EPC for their deep, deep wisdom. Soon after I was released from the hospital, I met with the leaders of all our boards and the chair of our HR team. To a person, the response was the same. Get well, take care of yourself, come back to us when you can. They had no judgment, no drama, only love. As Presbyterians, we're called to work together side by side, lay leadership right alongside ministers. In just a few minutes, we'll see that displayed as we ordain and install our new leadership, moving forward with grace and hope. Friends, this is an amazing community of faith. I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it. It's such an honor to be your pastor. Amen and amen.